Yeah, praise the Lord. Even during this time, I still can come back to church and to get us together to worship the Lord together, right? It's good to see Jesse back. Yeah. So anyway, it is good. Yeah, I know some of the churches are closed because of these epidemics, and they were so worried about, you know, being easily transmitted to other people. But so as long as we know that we are healthy and we are okay, we can come and be careful so that, you know, we can come back to church to worship God together. And for those who are online and watching our online through Zoom or what, I don't know. But anyway, we still can get connected together, right? So praise the Lord. So today, yes, I'm going to share on the second touch. It's in Mark chapter 8, 22 and 26. But before that, we just pray. Shall we pray? Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for the time of worship together. We know that this is a day that you have made. Even though that there are epidemics going on and people are not able to come to church, but Father, we know that you are with them. You are with them and you're protecting them, you're helping them. And also as we come together this morning in church here to worship you, we know that you are here together with us. And you're going to bless us, Father, in your word as we read through the word, as we meditate upon the word. We pray that, Father, you will speak to us personally. You will help us to understand, Lord, that we really truly need your touch again, oh Lord. Father, we just want to thank you for this morning's time. We want to commit to you. We just pray that, Father, you will move through your Holy Spirit and you will touch each one of us. Bless the word that is going to share. Bless all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, we will read the scripture together. Oh, sorry. So fast. Okay, shall we read the scripture together? Ready to go. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eye and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on this man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't even go into the village here." I am sure that most of you have heard about this story many, many times, even in our Sunday school. If Sunday school students here, they will be very, they are familiar with this. But in the Bible, especially in the Gospel, we see that Jesus healed all those blind men a few times. But this is a special one. That's why I purposely picked him up, because he need a second touch. He need a second touch, right? So we see in the Bible, in the Gospel, especially in the Synoptic Gospel, they were told that there were two men was blind, and Jesus just healed him, just simply healed him, right? And there are two more blind men was healed by the simple touch of the eyes, right? Then blind Bartimaeus is so famous that he was healed just by a simple word. Just a simple word God said, and he healed, and he healed. And the other one was a blind man was healed with the anointment of the eyes with clay and spittle. This is the second time that God spit with his saliva and then mixed with the clay and touched on his eye. And ask him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he got healed. But in our text today, we see that the blind man was healed with a touch, and also with the spittle. God spit on him, right? On his eyes. And he saw, but he saw something different. Right? He saw something like, man, look like a trees. It's not clear, right? And so finally, the Lord gave him a second touch. A second touch. Now, God had chosen this place in the place called Bethsaida. This place is a small fish, a little fishing village, right? A small little village. But nothing so important about this place. But the Lord had put his name there, put out the name in the word, in the Bible. There must be something that to tell us. There's some story behind it. Now beside, there are four disciples their hometown was there. They were from there. That is the Andrew, Peter, Philip. They are from this town. All right. So, but in this place, that is near to this place, that God has performed his miracles a few times. Right? Before, beside the 4,000 that he fed, the 5,000 that he fed, he had taught and he had shown his miracles near this place. What's so important about this place? Because, but the people in there, they have seen the miracles that God has performed. They've seen many, many things that God has performed. They know the Word of God. They know the Torah. They know what is a ceremonial washing. The history of their religion, they know very, very well. Everything. Like they're so well versed with their own law. But yet, something come out of this that Jesus has to say, the word to them and to say woe unto them, right? That the Lord is going to put a curse, like something like a curse upon this city. So that was one verse in Matthew 11, 21 to 22. It says that Jesus said to this place, he said, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. Okay, I've got the words there coming up. Okay, so that for if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre or Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. You see, how terrible it was the spiritual conditions in the life of the people in Bethsaida. Now God has put this place here, and when this blind man was being brought to Jesus, and the Lord did not perform his miracle there in that place. And you will see that in verse 22, he said they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Alright? And so he took this blind man by hand and led him outside the village. He took him out of this place. Out of this, beside of this place. And only he will perform these miracles on these persons. That's the reason behind this one, okay? So, the blind man came, not by himself. He came because somebody brought him there. Now, the Bible didn't say that, he was born with, with his infirmities, was born when he was, you know, he was blind. No, he didn't say anything about it. His name was not even mentioned, okay? He won't be able to see, that's all. And it depends on people to help him. Now, I don't know how you take care of your own eyes, okay? I think we are so, sometimes we just take it for granted. Well, we have eyes, we can see, you know, it's nothing so important. Until one day you can't see. Yeah, I experienced that. I got my retina, you know, detached. I couldn't see on one of my eyes. So I thank God for his healing. And of course, it's not like God spit on my eyes, no, but, I go and see a doctor. I went for an operation for this, alright? So thank God for a good doctor. And then, I have it fixed back and I can see everything clearly, you know? Yeah, it's really bad. I couldn't see at all in my left eye, so God is, you know, it's so important. From then on, I realized that it's so important to take care of our own sight, our eyesight. You know, because when we're so tired, we keep on looking at our computer, doing our things, we think that we're doing things for the Lord, and we neglected the importance of taking care of ourselves. But since then onwards, I'll take care of my eyes, be very careful every time I check on myself, that make sure that I'm not overtired on my eyesight. You know, that's why when we look at our phone or even the computer, when we read and all these things, that we must be very careful. That's right. So I understand when the man, when he lost his sight, he can't see, he's so helpless, he just don't know what's going on, right? So even when he was brought to Bethsaida, he didn't even know this place. Now, maybe he has been there many times. He had walked at the street. Now, blind men always depends on their feeling and they will be familiarity. How many steps I walked to the place, I've got a, you know, what are the things I need, it depends on. He knows. He's very sensitive on that, but he can't see. So Jesus has to take him out of the place and go into another place, out of this place called Bethsaida, and then only he performed his miracles. Yeah. So he has his infirmity. He can't see. But something that before Jesus healed this man, that he was talking something else. If you look into the Bible, you can see that Jesus was talking about if you have you have your Bible or your phone with the Bible, turn to Mark chapter 8. Okay. So, chapter 8, okay. Then you see the verse, let's see, verse 10 onwards. Turn to your Bible, okay? Now he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the regions of Dalmanutha. The Pharisee came and began to question Jesus, to test him and ask him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them and got back to the boat and crossed to the other side. The disciple had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. But he said, be careful. Jesus warned them, "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussions, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basket of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves of the 4 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. Right? So, Jesus has some conversation before they brought this man to him. Right? The Lord was talking about something about themselves, right? Concerning about these Pharisees. So they are be very careful on the spiritual blindness. The spiritual blindness that they had. But yet, these people, this disciple was with them, and he couldn't see what the Lord is talking about. Not talking about the natural bread, right? It's talking about the yeast. So they couldn't understand what Jesus was talking. So even though they were with Jesus for many, many, many years, or not many years, 3 years, okay, they couldn't. But there are times we are like them. We couldn't see, we couldn't understand what the Lord is trying to say to us, right? So the Lord was saying to them, "Why are you discussing the fact about having no bread? You know, you have already experienced the miracles. You know God will provide. But yet, you know, they have forgotten about that. They have seen, yet they cannot perceive. They have heard, yet cannot understand." That's something that we have to think about. There are many times that we come to the stage of our spiritual infirmity. Now, it's not that we don't see, but we see, but our spiritual eyes, we can't see things clearly the way the Lord wants us to see and to perceive, to understand. He has something that is even greater than you think about, you thought about. He has something already planned for you. So this spiritual blindness that God is trying to awake us and to help us to realize that beside the physical blindness, we have a good eyes, but what about our spiritual eyes? When you read the Word of God, did you understand what He say? When you pray to Him, do you understand that the way that He has shown you, He has spoken to you, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that He has spoken? He's leading you without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. So, His spiritual eye is not, you know, you're being touched, you know. You're not blinded, you know. But sometimes we do, you know. When we are so comfortable in the areas, in the situations, we say, "Okay, la, we know, la, we have experienced so many times God speak like this and that." We have forgotten God can speak other ways too. And God will show us, unless, you know, we open our eyes, our spiritual eyes to see, and our spiritual ears to hear, our spiritual hearts to perceive, to receive that from Him. Now, this blind man, he came because somebody brought him there because he needed a touch from the Lord. Right? He came there. He went over there because somebody had brought him over the side. Now, he got the touch from the Lord. Yeah. He got healed. Healed. And once part of it, oh, this is finished. Okay, I forgot to talk about this. Okay. Why is it that so much spiritual blindness in our world, in the world today? Now, even in the early stage that, in fact, I forgot to talk about Isaiah. Isaiah was mentioning about the spiritual blindness of God's people. Okay? Isaiah. Now, let's go back to that page. Okay. They are that the scripture was talking about, is in Isaiah chapter 1, I didn't put it down there, it said verse 1 and verse 18. Chapter 1 verse 18, it said, I the Lord invite you to come and talk it over, your sins are scarlet, red, and they will be whiter than snow. Now, God had invited his people, said, come, let's reason together. Why? The Lord is speaking to them, it's because that the people of Israel has been blinded. I mean, spiritually blinded. He cannot see the importance of their, the judgment is going to bring to them. That's going to be a penalty for the lawlessness. So they're missing out on that. God wants them to talk to them, and yet they don't understand. So why are there so many of us has this spiritual blindness or especially in this world? It is because he say that is because of Satan, our enemy. Always blind us. That's what the Bible said, Paul said in the Church of Corinthians, he said that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, alright? So that they cannot see the light of the gospel that display the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. There are too many times that the Satan, the enemy, have blinded our eyes. We don't see it. We don't see what God wants us to see. Yeah. That's why we need a touch from the Lord once again. And we as a Christian, sometimes we come to a stage of our Christian life, we are so contented. We thought that we have all. You know, we thought that we know all. We know what the Lord is going to speak to us, how the Lord is going to lead us, as though we know everything. But somehow, we are stagnant in that positions. But God wants us to come to him again and maybe come to a stage whereby you say, yeah, God, I need to move on one step forward or to a higher level. You have to come to him and allow him to touch you. Allow him to lift you up, especially your faith. Are you so contented with the faith that you have right this moment, or you want even a higher, a much better, a greater faith in him for the greater things that God has so planned for you? See, God has something higher, better for his children. But sometimes we are so contented, that we stay put in a position. But unless God has something happen in our life, that he's going to move us on. Of course, we have to respond to that, but if we are not, we can. Alright. So, this man, when he got a touch, and God healed him with a second touch. Alright. Let's look at his, there are two stages, okay? Let's look at the first one first. So this man, came to the Lord, and the Lord first touched him is like what? He spit on his eyes, and put his hand on him, and the moment Jesus just did that, and then he asked him, do you see anything? Why? Do you see anything? So his answer was this. He said, I see men like trees walking, Maybe he was, to this side, I was thinking, the Bible didn't say anything about he was born blind, okay? He's not born blind. He has seen, what is things like, look like. Like, see, you can say that I see men like trees. You have not seen tree, he doesn't know what the tree is like. He was born blind like this. Maybe he was, his eye was injured during his younger age or whatever. But that's why he can see only shape. Certain things, something like that, But it's not the real thing. It's not the real thing. And so therefore, he said, I see men like trees walking. Yeah? So it is not it's not completely healed yet. Right? It's not completely healed yet. So sometimes people say, oh yeah, I can see, but yet you cannot see the real thing yet. Good thing he didn't feel so contented and say, okay, I can see men like tree. No, he could have stopped there. We could have stopped there, Sometimes when the Lord healed us, I got healed. but we're not completely healed yet. We're not completely delivered yet. We're not completely out of that situation yet. You know? So he said, oh yeah, I have. So something very fuzzy, blurry, birdy like that. We don't see it clear enough that it is the healing has taken place totally. Of course, there's some preacher always encourages, well, by faith. Okay, exercise your faith to believe that God's going to heal you completely. Yeah, you've had the faith, right? But this time that the Lord has put it in such a way, is it God have no power to give him a one shot and get me healed? No, you see the other incidences where all those blind men come to Jesus, he just say a word, be healed. And he's be healed. He didn't do nothing. Not just a word, and he got healed, right? And so, but this case, he did it twice. And sometimes he asked a person, say, okay, go to wash in the pool of Siloam. And then, that was three times. He had done more than that. He spit and mixed with the clay and put it on his eyes and go ask him to wash. But this time he just spit on his eye and touch him and he couldn't see. And the Lord has to touch, give him another touch. Doesn't move. Help. It doesn't move. Okay. Okay. Oh. Okay. So once again, the Lord has to touch this man a second time. Now before that, we'll think about this man. His vision only half was half healed, right? And he's not contented about that. Something that I think also that it is like, you know, it's not good. We are not come to the point where complete healing is half. It's like sometimes we can refer back to our Christian life where we are so lukewarm, like half, neither here or neither there, right? Our sight is just seeing part of it. It's not complete. God wants us to be contented in this way, or God wants us to enjoy the total healing. God wants us to enjoy total healing, the best of it, you see? And so in that sense that God also reminds us of our own spiritual life, besides our spiritual blindness, there's also our complacency, our mediocre. We can be a mediocre, right? You can be a mediocre. Something that we are so lukewarm, but even in the Bible, in the book of Revelations, he had told us that. He said, in Revelation 3 and 15, he said, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the others, right? Either you are either cold or hot, you won't be lukewarm. Now this is the speech that God has given to Laodicean church and has scolded them. Even though they have done, outwardly speaking, they look so good. They come to church for worship. They have spent all, on every time when the service coming on, they will be there. They do all kinds of things. But yet, in their spiritual life is concerned, they are in a lukewarm state. You know, they are mediocre, we say. They're neither here or there. You know, and they just be so contented with where they are. The conditions, they're so contented. But the Lord is speaking something more to that to help them, to give them this reprimand to them and want them to change, you know, change from this stage, that they will have a much better purpose, a better visions for the Lord himself, for their own spiritual life, you see. So Jesus did say, you know, and scolded them and said, you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, you know. And that God wants them to change, you know. So to let them know their spiritual conditions, their state of their life, and they are in the mediocrity. God wants them to change completely for that. And if you want to change from this, they need a touch from the Lord. We need a touch from the Lord to change our spiritual conditions, our faith also. And I come to the stage two, then Jesus put his hand on his eyes and make him looked up, right? God put his hand on this man's eyes again and his eyes were open. His sight was restored, right? He saw everything clearly, right? He saw everything clearly. Now after the second touch, he sees it better. It is not just men like the trees walking, you know, but now it's something so clear and so good. And you feel so happy about it when you can see, right? Things are clear. Yeah. You know, or else we don't have to put on our glasses. If you can see things clear without our glasses, it's so good. So now it has all kind of new technique can help you to correct your eyesight, you see. So, but God's healing is much even better. They heal you completely. You can see it. Wow, so clear and so good, right? So this is the miracle. God restored the sight to him and he saw everything. Yeah, he was so happy about it. You see, I believe that church, today we are also like the blind, like this blind man, right? Like we stand, you know, desperately in need of the Lord's second touch. Actually, we need God's touch. Until we receive his second touch, we will be out of focus, out of touch with God and out of focus. I don't know if you believe, I believe that. You know, because the second touch will help us to make a shift from where you are to a higher level. God is going to put you, going to place you there. That's where he has so planned for you. But we are still content with where we are now. And we just, you know, in the blurry visions, we still don't want to go further. It's still there. Yeah, we can. But we'll be out of focus. We're out of touch with him. You see, God in our life, he has his plan. He has his directions. He wants us to experience it. He wants us to enjoy the blessings upon your life and our life. Yeah. He wants you to have a better visions, a clear visions. I'm not talking about just our eyes, just our physical eyes, visions. Let's talk about your spiritual vision. Where are you going to be in the coming future? What God wants you to do? Have you think about that? Are you contented with what you have right this moment? You know? Yeah. As long as we are out of touch with God and out of touch with him, our focus can be out also. Because sometimes, you know, we are so contented with what we have here and we've forgotten what God wants us to be, what he had prepared for us, right? So, we need a second touch, need a shift. We need a shift. Yeah, we need a shift to a higher level, to a place where God wants you to be. Yeah. So, let's look at this. Besides that, let me talk about this before I close. He said, he was told not to go back to the village. Now, when God healed him, Jesus healed him, and I think it would be a good thing to always go back to where he comes from and to tell the people, wow, I got my eyesight restored. I can see now, you know. But Jesus told him not to go back, you know. Not even to go back and tell the people there. Because he knows the people that their heart is so hardened. They don't even believe all the miracles. Even Jesus himself had performed all those miracles around the areas, even in the place itself. They don't even believe it. There's no point going back. You go there and tell them, you get to discourage. You don't believe that I got healed, you know. You don't believe that. Yeah. So Jesus said, go back. Don't go back. Go to other place. You see, when Jesus had led this blind man from Bethsaida and out of this place, and he didn't tell him where he's taking him to. Right? Bible didn't say. When he said, God hold his hand and lead him, walk with him, and out of this place. And he wouldn't even know where Jesus is taking him to. But we will be frightened, right? We commit our life to him and say, God, that, you know, you're going to take us to a higher level, a better place. Where? I don't know. You don't know. We can be very frightened. We don't know what to do with it, right? But as long as God is holding your hand and leading you out of the place and leading you to another place, where he didn't tell you, but you can be confident that because he is leading you, right? He's leading you. So many, many times of our life, God does that too. He keep quiet. When you ask of Him, He didn't tell you. But are you afraid? Are you going to have a lot of questions? I don't know whether it's God's will or not. I prayed and God has showed this, and then yet it wasn't like that, you know. But God didn't say anything the second time you ask Him. Sometimes we will be like waiting for somebody to prophesy on you and give you a word from the Lord to help you to walk, to go further. But so I would not. Maybe it's good. It's just to confirm. As long as you have the word from the Lord, it's much better. Directly. I always ask God, God, you speak to me. Please don't speak to somebody and tell me. Because it's concerning about me. You tell me. You talk to me. You know. I can be sure. And someone tell me, that is my confirmations. That is, you know, confirm God has already spoken to you. You know, without a shadow of doubt, He has spoken. And the second person come, he tell the same thing. It's not that He spoke to you, but He speak already to the persons. He's spoken. He's confirming what God has said to you. Then you'll be rest assured. You are on the right track. That's why I say, we need to have a touch from Him that He's talked to us, He speak to us, He lead us. That as He lead us on, even though He's quiet in silent, we can be sure that it is still in His will. We are going on the right track where He wants us to be. We need a touch from Him. Even the servant of Elijah in the book of 2 Kings. If you read that, Elijah's servant who has followed Elijah's to be with him for the ministry for all these years. I read to you, okay? And there was a time in I read the whole thing for you, okay? In I think chapter 19, it was, it said, now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. So after conferring with his officer, he said, I will set up my camp in such a place. Now, he said, the man of God sent words to the king of Israel. He said, beware of the passing of that place, because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elijah warned the king, okay, so that he was on his guard in such places. So this enraged the king of Aram. Oh, he got so angry. He said he summoned his officers and demanded of them. He said, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? He said, none of us, my lord the king, say one of his officers. But Elijah, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? He said, go, find out where is he, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. So the report came back, he is in Dordan. So then he sent horses and chariots and strong forces there, that they went by night and surrounded the city. Right? So that they want to capture this Elijah. So when the servant of man got up and went out early in the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. He said, oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? Because he saw, the servant saw, wow, the whole city was being surrounded by the chariots, you know, by the army, by the horses. What can we do? Because he know that they're going to catch him, you see. So, by Elijah pray. Elijah is the servant of the Lord. He saw beyond what the servant has seen, what the servant is seeing. The servant only see that, you know, the enemy has sent all the horses and the armies is coming around them, the cities. But what Elijah see is further than that. Higher than that. So therefore, Elijah prayed to the Lord and asked the Lord to do something miracle. He said, Lord, open the eye, open his eye, the servant's eye, so that he may see. So when Elijah prayed to God, that the Lord will open his servant's eye, you know, so that he can see what he can't see at that moment. See? Then the Lord opened the servant's eye, and he looked, and he saw the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire around Elijah. Wow. God sent something greater Because even though the enemy is surrounding them, but yet his eyes, he can't see it. That's why he was so nervous, so scared. Oh no, you know what we can do? But Elijah already saw something higher, greater. God has sent his chariots surround them. See, sometimes we have to have the eye. We need that touch from the Lord that we can see even greater, much better. Like, I know, I see we have, in this stage of those epidemic time, we only see, you know, wow, people, snatching this and snatching that, and we are so nervous and so hopeless. You know, people were saying that soon Hong Kong people will go crazy, depressed, because they are all has to be quarantined. One way or another, we are quarantined in our house. You cannot go anywhere. You cannot get connected with your friends, your you know, or your neighbors. You know, all were so afraid. But can we see something better come out of these things? God still has his hand on these situations. God has a higher plan than this. Yet our eye, we couldn't see. Our focus is wrong already. Now our focus is on this epidemics. You know, but our focus is on, every time we read the news, we are so depressing. Right now, I don't know about your eyes. I follow up the news quite closely. I feel very depressed sometimes. I say, oh no, God, there's another thing again coming up. Then suddenly there, you know, the other country is coming up so, you know, the higher rates on that. So because I have family members in different parts of the world, and I was quite concerned about them, see. Because one of my sisters is going to Korea. I told them, I said, better don't go. Suddenly it came out because the cases is so high, and yet they still want to go for holiday. I said, please do not go, you know. It's their family. Yeah, I said, you better discuss with your husband whether the whole family can go for holidays or not, you know. But we worried. But we had to see something. Like this servant of the Lord, I sometimes say, Lord, please touch our eyes so that we can see things that you have so prepared for us rather than ourselves. We see so limitedly. We only see with our eyes. We can't see even greater. So to this, I can see that God told him that not to go back to the village. Right. Yeah, it can be the place where he's so familiar with it, and that's a place it can be so discouraging also. Because people doesn't want to really admit and to admit that God is God, who God is, and God had done this miracle, and it is no good for him to go back to a place can be so discouraging to him. So God said, do not go in and just go home. Now he might not become, he might, to this word, he tell me that he doesn't come out from Bethsaida. Maybe he has been going there, their friend has taken him there, you know, to go for begging and asking people to help, you see, but he might not from there. So he said, go home and do not go to the village anymore. All right. Yeah, sometimes it's good. Once God leads us to another level, he doesn't want us to go back to that old place. Because it's something that's so familiar, we're so used to this, we're so comfortable with that. We don't want to move. But God wants to kick us out of it and get out and do something more. Please don't go back to where you're so familiar with. Do something with this, you're not familiar with that. Something new God has planned for us. Something new that God has put into your job and your families, you see. Your own life, your own spiritual life, that He's moving you higher. Giving you a better, you know, better things that beyond you can imagine. But God wants you to hang on to Him and just let Him lead you and let Him touch you so that you can see clearly what He wants to do with your life. Right? So, in conclusions, so we are like this blind man. We cannot see clearly. We only see the controversy, right, over other things in your family, things in our church. And that has become our focus rather than we focus on God Himself. So we need His touch. We need His touch again. Yeah, God has touched us as Christians. Well, maybe before we are a Christian, God touches us and we become a Christians. Right? We want the Lord to touch, keep on touching us and know and help us to see our place in this world. Even in this church, okay, if you cannot see the need to grow and become more in the kingdom of God, then you need a second touch. God has put us in this situation where we are Christians for such a long time, where are you now in His kingdom? God wants to expand you, all right? We need to grow out of where we are, right? So we need a touch from Him. So if you are a Christian, you cannot see your place in the world, then you're going to do this. If you are not a Christian, your life is topsy-turvy. You're spinning out of control, right? And then this is time for you to experience that His second touch to make you a better person. God wants to turn you around. And so therefore, we ask the Lord, if we have lack of faith to believe to God to move on to a further step, we got to ask God to touch us that we can have a greater faith to move on for what the Lord has so planned for us. Amen? Let us come before Him at this time and just meditate on this blind man's incidents, that the lessons where we see in this sharing, that I hope that it does help us to think about ourselves. And when I do this, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, yes, I need a second touch from You. I need a second touch from You, that You will show me what I should do. Yeah, I need a second touch to move on to a further, a higher level of my ministries, a higher level, a level where I think I can contribute much better. I don't know, but I said, God, I need a second touch from You. I can be very, very clear and sure of what He wants me to do. Okay? So shall we all rise? And we will sing this song for you alone. And allow the Lord to speak to us individually. I think we're not going to open the altar. You know why? Because of the epidemics, we don't want to touch. We don't want to have a closer touch on one another. Try to avoid all these things, right? But where you stand, it can be an altar. It's between you and God Himself. That you speak to the Lord. You know your situation. You know your position in the Lord. What do you actually need God to touch you again? He had touched you once. Yeah, He had led you to a certain level of your life. But at this moment is concerned, as we think about the word of God that has this morning come and just encourage us to receive His touch again, that He can touch us. You want Him to touch you in the area that where your life can be no longer the same. Just like this blind man, that he'll move on to a better life, to a life that he can enjoy, that he sees things clearly. You know, his eyesight can see a better vision, a greater. You know, God had let him enjoy not only just the scenery, but to see people. He's just going around and having a great, great life for himself. See, God has something better for us today, that for your life itself. Let's reach out and swing a song, reach out to God, and we pray that the Lord will touch us. Yeah? Okay. I'll give it to them.